Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, everybody jump.
Good Monday morning to one and all. It is Tass of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike, Pete, job well done. Focus your updates. 9 a.m. we go. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Taz and the Moose. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, man? Happy Monday, buddy.
Yes, Moose. Happy Monday, as they say. Yes, sir. Okay. Good to be here, my friend. Looking forward to a great show. We're going to have a great week. Forget about just not just today. The whole week is going to be great.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Vin Parisi is going to join us a little later on in the program. Yeah. Look forward to that. Break down all the college basketball as we'll get into everything surrounding the NCAA tournament, and that is where we will begin, where, you know, it's not been a great tournament in terms of, you know, fantastic buzzer beaters and upsets. You do have a 12 seed going to the Sweet 16 as we've gone from 68 to 64 to 32, and now we're down to the Sweet 16, Taz, as, you know, this tournament picks up momentum quickly as we move along here. But, you know, Oregon, you know, not your prototypical 12 because right. They're coming out of the Pac-12, even though it was a down year for that conference basketball-wise. And they did win the conference tournament for Dana Altman at the end of the season. A team that was banged up during the regular season got healthier as the season did go along and are now playing up to probably the expectations many people had before the start of the year. So you've got a 12, but other than that, you know, Virginia's through, Tennessee, Purdue, Kentucky, Auburn, North Carolina, Houston, Texas Tech, Michigan, Gonzaga, Florida State, Michigan State, LSU, and then you've got Duke and Virginia Tech as the Hokies make it to the Sweet 16 for the first time for Buzz Williams in school history. A very, very formful NCAA tournament up until this point in time where the higher seeds, aside from Oregon, have all moved on.
Yeah, no, I know. I've been enjoying it. You know, I've been enjoying it, especially yesterday. I know we're going to get into yesterday's game, which one of the games, which was probably the best game. But, yeah, no, definitely. It's nice to see. It kind of seemed like going quick that we're down to the Sweet 16 already. Like, if, you know, before you know it's Elite Eight. But I'm just saying, it's like it feels like it went really fast. Did that feel like that to you? Like
I think the tournament goes quick. Yeah.
Quick, man. Yeah. You know, and it's like, and you know, we, as we cover all these games and we laid out all the teams when we did our brackets, you know, we put it out there for our audience and everything's going great. But you know what it is, too? You know, you don't stop and think, right? All these teams that are in it initially, someone's going to get eliminated. It's one and done. And it's like when you're done, it's like it breaks these kids' heart. It breaks their family's heart. You know, no matter if you're a favorite or not a favorite, even if you just think maybe we'll win one round, we'll get into, you know, once they lose, they're done. Like that's, and you're starting to really see that emotion more. You know, they're showing it on TV more, that emotion of the loss, which, you think about that. These are student athletes. They're young guys. You know, their families traveling all over the place. That's the stuff that clicks to me, too, when that happens. When these teams lose, they start to lose more and more. As they're getting deeper, next you know, they're done, and they're not getting to the, you know, to the Final Four.
Yeah, but I think overall it's not been, you know,
not been a
thrilling tournament.
No, I agree.
I mean,
that was
you know, the point that I was initially making is that I don't think that, you know, you haven't had a lot of great games. You've had a couple. Yesterday, Iowa-Tennessee, entertaining game. Yesterday, we'll get into the Duke-Central Florida game. Very entertaining game. But for the most part here, Taz, you've gotten a lot of blowouts and a lot of margin games.
Right.
I mean, the games last night between, you know, UC Irvine and Oregon, you know, was you know, a margin basketball game. There wasn't really much to watch with Texas Tech as they just absolutely throttled and took care of Buffalo and did that pretty easily.
That broke my heart.
You know, Houston, Ohio State was entertaining for a little bit for the first half. And then the second half, the Cougars of Houston under Kelvin Sampson, they easily moved forward to the next round. And, No, that's where you get on the committee in terms of putting together brackets, putting together matchups, but also maybe it's just the way that college basketball is this year. It's been a while since we've had, a very, very formful year where this tournament hasn't gotten out of whack pretty early. And this year is not one of those years where it has. Now, you mentioned it. A couple games yesterday were very, very entertaining, and the lead one was Duke and Central Florida, where Johnny Dawkins, the legendary Duke guard, who was the head coach out at Stanford, now the head coach down at Central Florida, as a 8-9 winner, taking on the Duke Blue Devils in the second round, with Taco in the middle at 7-6, with Aubrey Dawkins on that Central Florida team, and they basically, for the most part, took Duke's best punch. And because of the size of Taco Fall and because of the inability for Duke to hit outside shots consistently, they were the worst three-point shooting team in the NCAA tournament. You saw the ills of this Duke team. Now, it was a strange matchup because they're not going to be facing any other team that has got a 7-6 center in Taco Fall. But you look at Central Florida, they've got to be sick, and they were after the game, and very, very emotional scene in that locker room as Johnny Dawkins addressed his team, Taz, because they had this game. I mean, 74-70 going for the alley-oop dunk. If that goes down at 76-70, Central Florida's marching on to the next round, and Duke isn't. It doesn't happen. You get a three, then another made basket, then all of a sudden you get the Zion Williamson play, and then the rebound after the fall foul out by R.J. Barrett puts it back in, and then Duke survives a couple of missed bunnies late by Central Florida.
The Barrett score right there after the missed free throw by Zion was, to me, clutch. That was the dagger, especially, like you were saying, without Taco on the floor, and that's a problem. The game's on the line, and you don't have your, I don't want to say he's your best player, because Dawkins is your best player, but the most dominant guy, the guy that just gigantic. He's a giant at 7'6", as you're saying, and he's not there. And it's just because of foul trouble and all this stuff. But, yeah, it was something else, man. I mean, UCF, they have obviously nothing to hang their head about. I mean, they should be extremely proud. They were so close, man. It was so close, especially at the very end. I mean, those two, the ball just going around the rim. I'm like, oh, God, it's not dropping in. It was something else. And who was at the very end of the game? Was it Barrett who threw the ball up in the air after they won, after Duke won? I think it was Barrett.
It might have been. I'm not sure.
I want to know where that ball landed. That thing, he rocketed that thing up into the top of the arena. Oh, man, that thing, if that lands in your head, good luck. That would really hurt. but anyway, it was a spectacular game, and your heart breaks for the Golden Knights, Central Florida, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and Dawkins was fantastic for Central Florida as he drops in 32. Williams put on a show as well as he had 30-plus points, and it just shows you just how fine the line is here for a team to pull off the upset. And you get B.J. Taylor, who has the runner late. That rolls off the rim. And Dawkins with the ridiculous rebound at 6'6", 23 years old is Aubrey Dawkins, coming in from one side, reaching over to the other side, and with the tip, and 9.5 times out of 10, that ball's going down.
Yeah.
And this time it just happens, unfortunately for him, at a little bit of the wrong spin and rolls out for Central Florida to the fortune of Duke as they march on. But they were probably not the better basketball team. Central Florida, as Mike Krzyzewski after the game said, they deserve to win the game. And you feel bad for that team because to be in that position for those seniors on Central Florida to get themselves to a Sweet 16, it's something that – they'll never be in that, have that opportunity again.
Yeah, no, that's the tough. That's hard for the seniors. And like I was saying, it's a tough thing when you learn that right. You always want your best guys on the floor, on the field, whatever sport it is. When it's do or die time at the end of the game, and by not having your gigantic 7'6" guy, Taco Fall on the floor, I just think that. I think it might have been a little bit of a different situation if he was on the floor, just because of how massive he is, and he seemed like he was playing a little more timid after he had, I think it was like early in the game when he had two fouls, maybe three, maybe
Once he got his second foul, he started to play a little, not timid, but he was nervous. He didn't want to end up fouling out of the game and get more and more fouls. But I think not having him on the floor when the game is on the line and Duke's got their best studs on the floor, and Williamson, R.J. Barrett, and stuff like that, that's tough. That's tough way to go about it for them to lose the game like that. But now you look at Duke, it's like, to me, Moose, I look at it like, geez, they just put themselves, that felt like a national championship game, right? The way it felt, the way the dramatics of it, how great it was, how evenly matched it was. I mean, we all know Duke's the better team. They did get lucky. They caught a break at the end, and sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good, as the cliche goes. But I almost feel like, and I don't have Duke I don't have them as a national champion. I got Virginia winning. That's what I think. I'm starting to think I'm probably going to be wrong on that. And most people have Duke. My point is, it feels like, Moose, I don't know about what you think of this, like Duke, it's like they're almost unstoppable now. Like they had a humbling, massive humbling moment yesterday and dodged a bullet. That's the only words I could think of, is they really literally dodged a bullet, and now I feel like they're going to be unstoppable for the rest of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, they could be, you know, or it could be a sign of things to come. I mean, it could go one of two ways. They could look at it where they're able to survive and march on and win a national championship, or they could be a precursor side to things to come. It's a strange matchup because they're not going to be facing another guy of Taco Fall size moving forward. So they couldn't get to the rim. I mean, they couldn't do what they normally do. He affected so much in and around the paint that it made Duke uncomfortable, and what it did do was it emphasized Duke's greatest weakness, which they can't shoot.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They can't shoot the ball from the outside. I mean, they were, as a team, they were 30% on the season. Now, that's not, you know, customary of a Mike Krzyzewski team, but that's where you saw the struggles of them offensively at times, is that they couldn't knock down the outside shot, and they couldn't get what they usually get at the rim or right around it, because of Fall's huge presence right. in the middle for Central Florida, they're never going to face that again. So, that's where it's kind of like a strange matchup where you saw Zion Williamson get blocked three times by Taco Fall.
Yeah.
And then he went for the layup late, which ended up fouling Taco Fall out of the game, which was an unbelievable move down three, but then it ends up missing the free throw. Right.
Yeah,
Barrett
yeah.
with the rebound right. and puts it back in. It falls in the game. That ball's not going to T.J. Barrett. I mean, that's a rebound for Central Florida,
that's what I'm saying,
and ball's
yeah.
probably going to the free throw line.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You make a great point. They're not going to face this going forward, someone that size. Right.
No. Well, right, having a team of that size. But, I think Duke is the deserving favorite. So could they take off from here? Yeah, I mean, next round they face a very, very familiar team in Virginia Tech, which they've seen.
Right.
They know what Buzz Williams and Vaught Tech are going to do. So there's a great familiarity there. Let's hear from Coach K. Here's Mike Krzyzewski talking about the victory and what his stud stars were able to do.
The will to win of Zion and RJ you can't measure it. It's just there. And we're a young group. But what they did right at the end of that game in willing us to win was just absolutely sensational.
Well, it had nothing to do with the missed alley-oop, which would have ended the game.
That would have ended the game,
right.
Yeah.
It's 76-70, but that's not part of the storyline.
Right,
here
right.
he is defensively, the plan late for the layup.
Basically, I just tried to get the ball into the hands of my two best players, these two guys. And then when Cam came back in, you know, in transition, Trey found him for the three. Basically, you just try to – it's not as much coaching as allowing your players to make you look good. And if they don't do it, then you have their backs.
Well, it looks like they didn't call much of an offensive play. They're trying to get the ball after the missed. We're down – you're looking at 76-73 now down, Taz. You know, under 30 seconds to go, the missed three rebound – and then all of a sudden, they're taking their sweet old time before Zion Williamson does the spin move, uses his physicality, gets into the chest of Taco Fall, and then puts it sweetly into the net. for what was the attempted three-point play. It didn't look like there was much of an offensive set call there. It was basically rotate the basketball around till you get into Zion Williamson's hands and then clear out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was saying to Mike before the show, Moose, it's crazy to me if you just watch, not crazy, but it's interesting to me, like watching Duke in transition, okay, watching how they'll jump and just play aggressive, fast, smothering defense. It's super impressive. In lacrosse, it's called riding. Okay, when it's a team offensively just almost scored and they don't, and now the other team's on a clear, the offense rides and more or less playing defense while transitioning in basketball. Duke, like, it's the intensity of them in transition is so impressive. And it's like these guys, there's no lack of desire to win, work ethic, drive to win, intensity. And that's Zion Williamson. You know, I got to tell you, as great as he is, man, the most impressive thing about him to me, Moose, is it resonates off the television, okay, how bad he wants it, how bad he wants it. You feel it. You can feel how bad this guy wants to win from the opening tip to the end of the game. No matter any time you watch him play, that's something that's an intangible you can't coach. He's just it's unbelievable watching that kid, how hard we hype him. Everybody hypes him, and it's all rightfully so. He's that in a bag of chips.
Yeah, he's great.
he really is, man. He really is.
Here's Central Florida head coach and the former Duke legend, Johnny Dawkins, after the loss.
What we're able to do this year as far as, you know, competing at the level we wanted to compete at, you know, making the NCAA tournament, winning a game in the NCAA tournament, says a lot about our senior class because they led us all the way, and I'm just really proud of everything they've done for our program.
Yeah, I mean, they and should be. You know, and mentioned it earlier, it was an emotional scene in that Central Florida locker room. Let's take a listen to what Dawkins had to say to his team, and this was put out late last night. Take a listen.
Really proud of course. What you did this year, not just tonight, you did this year representing, you know, our program, representing our university. Couldn't be more proud of how you handled yourself on and off the court. And you guys have been terrific. And look, man, we always said it's going to end two ways when you invest like we invest. It's going to end, man, celebrating. We're going to end crying. We're going to end in tears. We end in tears. That's because we invested, as I said before, so much in each other and so much in what we were doing. And again, man, I told you guys before, I love you guys. It's been amazing coaching this group. And like I said, for us, we got a lot of good memories, man. A lot of good memories. We've accomplished a lot of amazing things this year. And I know that doesn't, you know, do anything for us right now, but at some point in time, it will. And so again, I know this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt for a while. I've been in it before and the same thing. But we're proud of you guys. We're proud of the effort and the energy that you gave us all year long. Chad, what are we going to say, man?
Hey, family on three, family on three. One, two, three, family!
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it was a very, very emotional scene. It's talking. Yeah, it really is. And it just shows you the emotional commitment that these young men have. Last night, I think it was on either TBS or TNT at the late game when they played that for the first time after Oregon just throttled UC Irvine. And they had the Illinois-Chicago coach in studio, and he said it brought back memories to last year to his senior and some of the guys and what it meant when they lost and, you know, being in tears, walking off the court and holding one of his players up. Because of the emotional commitment, and you know, you could tell that it brought back those memories for him. But what Dawkins says is right: only one team ends in celebration; everybody else ends in tears. So, but Central Florida, they walked off the court yesterday, and the better team lost. That's the way I looked at it yesterday. Duke was able to win and found a way to win. Central Florida, if a couple of things. Think about that alley-oop. Think about the tip back by Dawkins, even the initial shot by Taylor that just rolls right off of the tip by Aubrey Dawkins, the former Michigan Wolverine, as he comes flying in and it rolls off the rim. Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, it just shows it wasn't meant to be for the Golden Knights. It just wasn't meant to be. Listen, first of all, I want to say like that sound, that audio we played of Coach Dawkins in the locker room with his Central Florida team. I got to be honest. Like, I know a lot of people, no one enjoys hearing that, but it's like, I personally don't think, and that was on the UCF's Twitter page, I believe.
Yep.
I just don't think that they should be. I wouldn't have, if I was the head coach or the AD, I would not want that public. Some things with coaches and players, the coaching staff and the players needs to be private, especially after a game. That's just my opinion. I mean, and I feel horrible for that whole program and for those kids. I just don't think that should be for public consumption. That's just my opinion because it's a private moment. It's a devastating situation for those kids. And you're right, all the time that's put in and how emotionally invested you're in. You hear the word like time put in all the time, but I'm telling you, like, you know, it's like you really, I don't think people realize the amount of time put in and the effort, and it's in all.
It's all about, I mean,
it's,
right.
It's the all those kids.
Basketball players.
Yeah, well, just when you play high-level sports, it's in the family's homes, too. It's
right.
Part of your home. I know I can speak from that from a lacrosse perspective. That investment is in your home, in your family, in those kids. And then when it all comes crashing down, like it did for those kids yesterday, for UCF, God, it just it stomps your heart.
Yeah, gut-wrenching.
That's horrible.
Is Duke still the team to beat in the NCAA tournament? Plus, Tennessee holds on. We'll continue to react as we're down to 16, the Sweet 16. Reaction does resume come your way Thursday night. But we've gone from 68 all the way down to 16 in quick, short order. UCF, an absolute gut-wrenching loss, but really the game of the tournament. And another interesting game early yesterday between Iowa and Tennessee. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Who will be college basketball's national champion? Call in and make your opinion known on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, two and more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Steph Curry? All-star guard scored a game-high 26 points to lead the Warriors to a 121-114 victory over the Pistons out in Oakland, California. So there you go. That is a player that is doing more. Brought to you by the Home Depot. Bogus kids are healthy. He's back in the fold. What's going on, Andy?
Guys, Weird Al.
Laughing and rolling their eyes because I'm so wide and dirty.
Good moment to all.
Yes, what's up?
Your first report this morning is sponsored by H&R Block. Tax day is coming. Your time to file may be running out, but with H&R Block, you still have plenty of options to finish your return. Make an appointment, walk in, or drop off your docs at a Block office near you. So that'll do it for Gronk. Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement yesterday on Instagram, although he apparently used up Robert Kraft's one phone call per day to tell the owner before us. Gronk is 2 months shy of his 30th birthday. He did not hint at what's next for him, but did write, quote, huge cheers to the uncertain of what's next, end quote. Gronk not alone retiring yesterday either. Veteran receiver Jeremy Maclin said he was done playing at his wife's baby shower. Maclin caught 49 TD passes over his 9 seasons. And Giants owner John Maris said yesterday he gave, quote, reluctant approval to the Odell Beckham Jr. trade to the Browns, and now it's up to the front office to make good on the draft picks they acquired. Before Duke's sidestep disaster against UCF, North Carolina left little doubt against Washington, an 81-59 decision over those Huskies to reach the Sweet 16 the year after a second-round upset at the hands of Texas A&M. Head coach Roy Williams.
Anybody that advances past this point, you feel very good about a win on the second round last year. We had a really, really nice year in the second round. We stumbled, and we talked about it quite a bit this summer, and I think the kids were really good at times today.
Especially Luke May and Nasir Little, who each scored 20. The Heels face Auburn on Friday. Fellow one-seed Virginia also won easily yesterday, 63-51 over Oklahoma. Texas Tech sent Buffalo home, 78-58. Virginia Tech held off Liberty 67-58, and Houston downed Ohio State 74-59. The Cougars in the Sweet 16 for the first time since Phi Slamma Jamma in 84. Coaching news, Savory Johnson fired after four seasons at Alabama, and Ron Hunter's leaving Georgia State to replace Mike Dunleavy at Tulane. The Green Wave hasn't danced since 95. In the NBA, according to CBS Sports Radio's NBA savant, Mikey B., this saved the Charlotte Hornets season.
Bacon on the bounce to Jeremy Lamb. It's poked away. A heave. It's gone! He hit it! He hit it! It's gone! He banks it! And Bencourt and the Hornets win it!
And Chris Kroger finally went through puberty all on Hornets radio last night. 115-114, the final. Charlotte's now two games behind Miami for eighth in the East. Lamb's miracle measuring it at 48 feet, the second longest buzzer beater in the last 20 NBA seasons. The Spurs, a 115-96 win in Boston, behind 48 from LaMarcus Aldridge. The Warriors down the Pistons, 121-114 to reach the 50-win plateau. And the Lakers snapping a five-game skid, 111-106 over the Kings. LeBron with 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. As Moose well knows, the Memphis Express and Birmingham Iron played the first OT game in Alliance history last night.
Woo!
And Memphis won it 31-25. Johnny Manziel completed 3 of 5 passes for the Express in his AAF debut. He played 3 drives over the second and third quarters. And the Columbus Blue Jackets, a 5-0 win in Vancouver last night. That gets them within 2 points of Montreal for the final playoff spot in the East. Boys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Let's go out to Richmond, Indiana, it is, and talk to Jim. Listen on radio.com. Jim, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
What's up, Jim?
Good morning. What's up, Taz and Moose?
How you doing,
what
sir?
Brother.
Good.
What's up?
Oh, not much. I picked Michigan, North Carolina in the championship because I think Duke's 3 is going to hurt them in the long run in the tournament.
Yeah, it could. I mean, they hit it at 30%. Lack of outside shooting is an issue. And you saw it yesterday against Central Florida. That's fair. So you have North Carolina and Michigan, and you think Duke makes it to a Final Four, they get knocked off by either LSU or Virginia Tech or Michigan State.
I think Michigan State beats Duke in Elite Eight.
All right.
Well, it's interesting, too, because they during the regular season, what was Virginia Tech beat Duke?
Yep.
Right? They beat them 77-72. So that could happen, too. But, yeah, you might be right. You might be right. We'll see. It's going to be tough because Williamson's in the group. What's up?
But if you look at that bracket that Duke's in, because you got Texas Tech, Gonzaga, Florida State, Michigan, any one of those teams could beat Duke easily.
Well, you're talking about the Gonzaga region. That's a different region than Duke's region.
But once they get to the
Final Four, that's fair. I mean, Gonzaga's already beaten Duke, so we've seen that already. We've seen, you know how talented Florida State is. You look at Michigan, they're a well-coached team under Beilein. You know, Texas Tech has got a pro, and they play ridiculous defense as well. So, and I've got a guy on their team that's going to be a top-5 draft choice.
We appreciate the call, Jim.
Especially with what you witnessed yesterday, how could you not think that anybody can? I think everyone's beatable.
I mean, and the only thing too, I want to bring. I mentioned Virginia Tech did beat Duke. That was without Zion Williamson playing, so I think that's important to bring up.
I'm starting y'all more and more getting comfortable again with the two of y'all. Moose, I always call him and Maggie.
Yes, on Saturday mornings you were regular. Yeah, Kenny,
that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm back, Moose. I'm back.
There you go, brother. Appreciate it.
What's up,
Moose,
man?
Moose, you made a statement. I got to come at you this morning on this.
Yeah.
You said that the team that lost deserved to win.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. You know why? Because I didn't see a ref take the game from them. So Duke made one or two more plays than that team. So Duke deserved to win.
Well, right. The execution or lack thereof of the alley-oop, I'm not even going to get on the rebound because without fall in the game for Central Florida, that miss, plus you hit the front of the rim, it bounced straight forward. Usually the drive is right toward the basket. You can get pushed underneath. And you know, you might have called a foul on Barrett for pushing underneath, but they're not going to call it at that stage. I look at it as the team that I thought played looser, freer, more aggressive down the stretch. I thought it was Central Florida. I thought there was a stretch there of about 90 seconds where Duke almost looked scared that they were about to lose. Central Florida had that game. Taylor, was it B.J. Taylor, drains that three, and then you see his reaction. I thought Central Florida was feeling it. If they're able, I get you can say, well, why even doing an alley-oop? I mean, they did one earlier on in the game, a couple, I believe, earlier on in the game. They execute that alley-oop, and it's 76-70. Kenny, I think that game's over.
I believe the game is over, too. But guess what? Moose, they didn't execute.
No, that's fair.
Execute it, and then Duke executed it with Zion and with Barrett. No matter how the ball bounced, they executed it. Now, if the refs had took the game away from that team and they had lost based on that, I would 100% say the team that lost deserved to win. But no, Duke played it to the end because they still are freshmen. And the reason why Duke is not unstoppable is one reason. Cam Reddish will not step his game up to his potential. He will not step his game up. He had a nice little clutch three, of course. But that team is not close. No team is close to Duke. If this boy Cam Reddish would step his game up like he did early in the season against Kentucky when they were compared to the Fab Five based on those three. Because Trae Young, he can't shoot. He can't throw it in the ocean.
No.
That's a fact.
No, he cannot.
Without Zion, that's how bad Duke is. Because Zion and Barrett have to take on so much. But the bottom line is Duke deserved that.
That's fair. I mean, we could quibble about it. I mean, Krzyzewski said after the game, Taz, that Central Florida deserved to win the game. But also credit his star players for stepping up, something that Kenny was just mentioning as well. That's fair. I felt bad for Central Florida when that game went final. I was rooting for Duke. But I did feel bad for Central Florida because they had the game right there. The game was, they had broken through, Taz. They had gone nip and tuck. They had taken Duke's big hit at the end of the first half, took a Duke a little bit of a hit at the start of the second half, able to bounce back after that. They actually had a lead late and unable to finish. I felt bad for Central Florida. That's a really gut-wrenching loss to be that close to pulling off what would have been the shocker of this tournament.
Yeah, I felt bad for him also. I really did. And, you know, the thing is, like, I felt like when you watched the game from the beginning to the end, it definitely seemed the guys who wanted the game more, who were trying to really, you know, battle through what was Central Florida because they were the underdog. So Duke has been used to being, you know, the chosen ones. They're used to, you know, it's everybody has them winning this whole thing. Everybody has them just buzzing through. They have the great freshmen, all these great freshmen. And by the way, what Kenny was saying about these guys are still freshmen. I think at this point in the season, this deep into the postseason, the amount of minutes that these freshmen on this Duke team have been playing at the highest level in the ACC and all these other teams in the country. To me, they're not freshmen anymore. You know, I get his point. And technically, on paper and by age, they're freshmen. I understand that. But the amount of playing time they have, there's juniors and seniors sitting on the bench watching, you know, while these freshmen are balling all year long, and they're doing a great job. I'm not knocking these kids, I'm just saying. So I don't look at them as freshmen anymore. But I feel like Central Florida definitely was chasing down Duke throughout the game. And they were trying to you know, make a point. They were the ones that were trying to win the game, and Duke was trying to just hang on throughout the game. That's what it felt like. And like we were talking about a lot earlier, at the very end of the game, when Taco falls not on the hardwood, and the game's on the line, that's a problem. That's a problem because you made a good point. These guys, if Duke can go to the paint and layups and all this stuff and all this, you know, as they can't shoot on the outside. It's game over. The Blue Devils are going to win, and that's what happened. Once big man's not there, 7'6".
Yeah, it's a different game.
That's a big difference. But it was very, very difficult for Central Florida, as we talked about earlier, and I also feel horrible for them. I have Duke going on to the championship game, right? And I found myself in this thing, Moose. I started rooting for UCF because I fell into the underdog thing. I'm like, I'd like to see these guys win. It makes it compelling. It makes it entertaining. And I wonder what the ratings were in that game yesterday. As each minute went by, probably built. But I found myself rooting for the underdog.
Yeah, I didn't find myself doing that. I was still rooting for Duke, but I did feel bad for Central Florida.
Right. No, I hear you.
But I think the place I was at, a lot of people were rooting for Central Florida. So people were night crazy as that game was going along, because I think there's the, you know, outside of Tobacco Road, there's a lot of people that love to root against the Duke Blue Devils. But yes, I, at that stage, I was still rooting for my bracket, but Central Florida. Yeah. It certainly deserved and had every opportunity to win that basketball game. Unfortunately, they didn't. 855 for them. 212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Tennessee star, not in overtime, but it helps. We'll explain next. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Monday morning right here. CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are exact fit for your vehicle. With brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner, Thermo, Quiet, O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So we spent a lot of time on Duke UCF as the Blue Devils survive and march on with the close victory into the Sweet 16. And as we move to another region, and that is down south, which is Virginia's region, as they are the one seed and handled Oklahoma pretty easily yesterday. But yesterday afternoon, early game, Iowa and Tennessee, what was a laugher early, Taz, turned into an absolute white knuckler, as Al McGuire would say, God rest his soul, when he was doing games and when he was the great coach of Marquette, where it, you know, a 25-point lead for Tennessee as Fran McCaffrey's Iowa Hawkeyes came steamrolling in the second half to force overtime. Tennessee survives and does march on. But it was a hell of a basketball game, and Tennessee wins the game with their star player, Admiral Schofield, who's a great name, by the way, sitting on the bench.
Yeah. If you have the name Admiral, you better be good at whatever you're doing. I'll tell you that right now, because that's a lot of pressure. He didn't want to play. That's what Bond said. He said, you know, he asked him, and the kid said he didn't want to play. He said, left the other kid in the game, Kyle, which is, I'm throwing a blank, the other kid's name. He left the other kid in the game, was playing good, and he, Kyle Alexander, that's the kid, the other senior. And he said, leave him in the game. And I mean, I don't understand that. You're a top guy on that team. You're, you know, all SEC player, and you've been clutch throughout the season for the Volunteers, and you don't want to play. I mean, maybe he just, I don't know. Maybe he didn't feel it in overtime. Who knows? I mean, who knows what was going through the kid's head? But it's strange.
Well, at that stage, could you give him the benefit and say maybe he knew that it wasn't his day, or he thought the team was playing better with the other player on the court, that he did not want to call his number, even though he felt like, and you know, he was 7 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 6 from three-point line, had 19 points, did miss a three late at the end of regulation, and then I was able to you know, do you look at Schofield and say, all right, well, this is a scenario where my fellow senior's playing well, he deserves the reps, he deserves the playing time, I'm not feeling it right now? I mean, do you give him the benefit of the doubt with that?
I don't.
No? A guy that's been as good as Schofield has been for Tennessee?
Right. A guy that has been as good as he's been for Tennessee, that's why he belongs in overtime. He's, in my opinion, this is going to sound harsh, I feel he's got to believe in himself. Of course, he's got to be the man on that team. He is the man on the team. I mean, you know, you got to be there in the end. And you got to believe in yourself in the end. I understand what you're saying, and I do get it. That's why I said it's strange. I mean, I don't want to think the kid got cold feet with all the experience this guy has as a player.
Well, they wouldn't have been there without him against
exactly.
Colton.
No, I know. I mean, he wouldn't be an all-SEC player if he wasn't a great player. I mean, obviously. But it's what have you done for me lately? So if you're a Volunteers fan and you want to see Admiral on the court, no T against the Hawkeyes, he's not playing. Okay, well, you know, I mean,
Well, let's hear from the head coach. Here's Rick Barnes on Schofield not playing OT.
We were wanting to sub, and at the end of the game, Admiral kept saying, "You got to leave Kyle in. Don't put me in. We got to leave Kyle in," because they felt like he could do what he needed to do, and he didn't want to play. He kept saying, leave Kyle in the game." Wow. He said, "Kyle is important." With four fouls, he knew they were going to come right at him, and he said, "Coach, I can't guard the way I need to guard. I'm going to foul." And he said, "So you got to leave Kyle. You got to put him in." And that was his decision. He said, "Leave Kyle in the game."
Well, the four fouls thing is important too. I didn't take that into account. Yeah. That's a good point. I knew he had four fouls. I forgot to go through my brain, but I could see that part. But still, I mean, this is a rare thing. You don't normally hear this. I just think you gotta. I don't know. The competitor in me's got. It says, you know what? You gotta suck it up and you gotta play and that's what happens. I mentioned it earlier with Taco Fall from UCF. You know, when he had two, three fouls on him early in the game, you could start seeing he was playing a little bit different. He has to. You see it all the time in basketball. Guys don't want to foul out. Hurts the team, hurts them, hurts everything. So I guess that's the fact. But I don't know, man. You're the best guy in that team. You're the man. I need you on the floor, bro. I don't care if you got four flat fouls. I need you on the floor in OT. That's just how I look at it.
You know, I look at it as kind of a little bit differently. I do look at it as a land where everyone is, selfish to an extent. I thought it was kind of a selfless act by Admiral Schofield, where he looked at his team, knowing his team, and said basically, like, I'm going to be more of a detriment on the court with the style and fashion which I play, with the fouls that I have, the game that I'm having, as compared to sticking with Kyle Alexander at that stage. I don't know. That's the way I looked at it. I'll be honest with you. I think Tennessee's actually going to be better off for it as a team moving forward. The fact that they did not lean on Schofield in overtime, which they did in their opening round victory, I think they'll be better off for it, because you had big shots by Turner, Bone hitting free throws late, Alexander doing something as well at the free throw line. I think they'll be better off as a team on the whole. I think they actually strengthened themselves for Rick Barnes and gained even more confidence as a group, because I don't think Admiral Schofield's lacking in confidence. I think he just looked at the matchup and said, I think you got to stick with the guy that is on the court. And here's the other thing, Taz. If the coach felt differently, he could have demanded him to go in the game, no?
Yeah, of course he could, but I don't. Someone says, "Don't put me in," don't demand him to play, because he's not in there mentally, emotionally, for whatever reason. A guy says, "I don't want to play," you don't want to just put him on the field.
But I mean, if you were Barnes, I mean, you could have at that stage. Maybe right? You could have done that. I mean, I'm going to give Schofield the benefit of the doubt. I think he's been too good of a player for too long for Tennessee to now all the I'm not going to question certainly. What he is as a player, or what he is as a basketball player. I think he just looked at the matchup, and for Tennessee, he was right.
He was right.
Even after they collapsed blew a 25-point lead, he had Turner hitting big shots. They were able to spurt away in overtime, and they won the game by six.
He was right. Well, let's play a game of if. If the Hawkeyes win that game in OT, this is a different conversation. And this is a whole different conversation, and the whole sports world, the whole sports medium, from TV to radio, everyone's going to be this guy here. Schofield is going to be the redheaded. He is going to be the sacrificial lamb, I should say, and it's going to be because he didn't suck it up. He didn't have the fortitude to get out there and OT with his team. He was trying to be selfish, but you got to be out there. You're the man. You got to be in there. If the Hawkeyes pull off the upset as a 10 seed, right? They were a 10 seed, I believe. They are, right. And he goes in, the Hawkeyes go in there and win that game in overtime, whole different conversation here. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen, so it don't matter.
I think he gets protected a little bit because of the failures of Rick Barnes' teams, whether dating back to Texas or in the NCAA tournament. I do think he gets a little bit of a... helped out there by the failures of his head coach. But I'm not saying that there wouldn't be more criticism coming his way. I don't disagree with you there, Taz. I don't know if the whole sports world would be coming down on his shoulders. But I look at him, and for Tennessee, you know, they breathe a huge sigh of relief, because, you know, to be up by 25 points and make that a laugher early,
God,
and then be sucking wind late as Iowa comes steamrolling down the stretch.
That's a bad job, man.
Right, and really, the Volunteers have a couple guys to thank. Number one, Grant Williams, who was fantastic in overtime. especially with his mid-range game, ability to get to the rim, Turner hitting a big three. I mean, those are the two guys offensively that if you're a Vols fan, you're thankful you have both of those young men as a part of that program because that's why you're in the Sweet 16.
That big center they got in Iowa, Gauzer,
yeah.
Plays good defense.
Yeah,
man.
Good player.
I like that guy.
Good player. Yeah. It's Taz of the Moose. We got an hour down, two to play with. NCAA tournament in full focus right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.